Do I hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was like, oh, if I get on here at noon, I'll be the first one.
Well, Deanna was supposed to be, but, you know, it's all right. So
that's okay. That's okay. So I kind of wanted some coaching about my teen, and I know you have great insight on this because mine's going to be 15 soon. And so I just can't get past whenever we get in. We have a good relationship, but then when he gets teeny, I just go straight to boiling and just take it personal.
Why? Why do you take a natural teenager's stuff personally? Must be my fault, not being a teenager.
Actually, probably, yeah, it's more, why aren't you just doing what I say? Or why can't you just be compliant? That cute little kid you used to be.
Why do you need him to be compliant and doing what you say?
I guess because that's where he came from. He used to be that cute little kid that was sweet and didn't have an opinion. And you know what I mean.
Yeah, but let's put it this way. Do you want him growing up as an adult to be sweet and have no opinion and just everybody can tell him what to do and he never gets angry and he never advocates for himself? He never has a disagreement.
No.
That's what the teenage years are about.
Exactly.
No matter how much we know, trust me, we know, we make all the sense, we all these things, right?
Right.
Teenagers have to figure out on their own how to sort through what actually makes sense and what doesn't. They have to make mistakes. They have to learn that they can't just blow up. The only way teenagers learn how not to blow up at their boss at work one day is to blow up at their mom and it backfire in their face.
That's a good point.
I mean, I think that's what we forget as parents. We want our parents, as parents, it's like, I know best. I don't know. Where's your thought process on this?
Well, my thought process is, I guess it's a little alarming because all of a sudden you have a person who has opinions and is, 6'1". And you just go, where did that kid come from? And then you sort of are dealing with my own emotions or my own feelings. And I'm like, okay, I got this. I'm doing this. I'm able to deal with my thoughts. And then all of a sudden somebody's emotion or, because they can, and he's male. So, males can be strong. And so, then it's like, whoa. And then I get offended.
Do you get offended? Exactly. Him being a 6'1" teenage boy is not why you're offended.
No, it's not.
Tell me something amazing he has said.
I mean, he said plenty of amazing things.
I mean, amazing as in offended. Tell me something he said and you took offense to it.
Well, probably, mom, you're taking it personal. Or mom, I don't have a tone. Or mom, he'll just start to prod me that I'm the one who's, being offensive or.
But you are
being offended.
Yeah, this is the problem. You actually are, and you're arguing the truth.
For him.
You are offended, and he's calling you out on it. Now you're pissed that he's calling you out on being offended. It's like, I don't want you to be a teenager. Here's what I want you to be. The person who does everything I say. Mm-hmm. And you're not being that person. Now I'm offended. Now you tell me I'm offended. You're wrong. I'm pissed. We don't get to have it both ways. Sometimes when they say that stuff, you have to remember, they're articulating probably what they're seeing.
Exactly.
And if they're not articulating what they're seeing, you know what they're also articulating? Mm-hmm. Their own thoughts and feelings. And when you tell them they're wrong, you're sending the message, your thoughts and feelings are wrong. Rather than just, and I'm not saying you don't have to be it's okay to yell at mama, but you can totally be like, I get why you think I'm offended. Yes, I am offended. I think you should be doing this. You're right. We're on the same page. I'm offended as fuck right now. You should take out the trash. There's different ways to have that. This is the thing. It's not to have the conversation so that he's like, oh, my mother's enlightened. It's so that you really understand that you don't need to be mad that it's not going the way you think it should be going. Mm-hmm. If he legit is doing offensive things, be upset about the offensive things, mm-hmm. but don't be upset that he's not saying it in a way that you approve of. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I think what throws me off is I feel like, I've got my feelings under control. And then all of a sudden blood starts boiling. Cause you are like, why am I not, why can't we just all be happy? You know, why can't we all
because be? That's unrealistic. That's why, like, let's just answer that question. I would like us to all be happy all the time. That's why people overeat and drink and do porn, trying to be happy all the time. Like, let's not all be happy all the time. Let's, like, actually have disagreements and learn how to create amazing adults because they learn how to process their emotions. And it's fine for your blood to boil. Like, that's your signal to check in. Mm-hmm. Is my blood boiling because my son is having unprotected sex? Or is my blood boiling because I think he should talk to me different? Mm-hmm. Because I think we should be happy all the time. That's your signal to check in. Like, there's legit times for blood to boil. I'm going to tell you right now, if Logan was, like, boning girls at school, blood would boil. I would not be going, oh, my God, he's, you know, like, sowing the seeds of love. That is not what I would be thinking. Mm-mm. But if Logan came into the room when I'm on a coaching call and my blood boiled, he shouldn't do that. That's not when I want that to happen. And that's my responsibility to, like, manage my emotions. And I think one thing you just said will help you is when you said, why can't we just be happy all the time? You are still resisting your own negative emotions rather than inviting your own negative emotions in and just being like, sometimes mamas get pissed. Sometimes we are offended at our own kids and stuff. That's normal. It's also normal for me to question it and decide, do I want to keep that behavior in myself or not? Do I want to keep those thoughts and feelings in myself or not? Not to think things are going wrong.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm not really getting into a space where I can observe at that time. Rather, I'm just allowing myself to go down the road of boil.
Yeah. This is what I do because I'm like, I'm an angry person. When I say I'm an angry person, what I really mean is anger is one of the emotions that I go to easily. Mm-hmm. And it's one that I've used so much in my lifetime that I pay attention when I'm angry. I know that when I'm feeling angry, it's time for Corinne to pay attention. And I have certain, you know how we have a food protocol? Mm-hmm. Like an anger protocol that I've set for myself. It's my own personal boundaries for me. It's like, you know, I don't argue anymore. Like, if I know my blood's boiling, the last thing I'm going to do is continue the argument. I make myself take my own time out. Mm. Because I know me. If I keep going, if I keep allowing it, I want to try to be right. And I decided a long time ago, I was done trying to be right in the world. I was really ready to just be in the world and figure shit out.
I like that. Yeah. I like the protocol part because that's helpful because it gives me steps to be able to, in the moment, check myself and sit. If I can't sit, then I can leave the room.
Yeah. One thought that always helps me with anger is this isn't about me and it's not about them. That's what I always go to. This is just about sentences in my head right now. Like when I'm at my pissiest moment, I always try to remind myself every single emotion, even the one that feels very justified and real in this moment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, I am justified in my anger. It's like, it still comes down to the sentences running around in my head. So it's like, this is not about me and this is not about them. It's about the sentences. And when I do that, it allows me just even in the moment when I'm pissy to not continue to overreact. I'm already overreacting when I'm angry most of the time.
Yeah.
I just don't have a life set up to have like when you think about your son in general and all the things he's saying and doing and everything, would you be like, yeah, I can see why I'm so angry all the time. Like I should just be angry at him all the time.
No, not at all. There's no proof of that.
And that's what's really good about allowing that to be like, okay, like in the moment, it feels so real. And there's a part for mamas, we're seeing the baby die.
Yes.
I mean, through that now. I'm just like, ugh.
I think too, it's kind of foreign to allow other people to have their space to be angry or to be whatever emotion that they're having. And so it's sometimes hard for me because I want to fix it or I want to make everyone happy or rather than letting them go through the process. So yesterday he was at work and he texted me like, when is someone coming to get me? And he's trying to make an impression at work and he really should stay there. It's an internship. And so rather than text him back, like, I'll be right there. Cause I really in my body wanted to go rescue my kid who'd been at work already a long time because it was an early day. And so I texted back, well, how are you feeling? Would you like me? What would you like us to do? And he answered, oh, I'm fine. I would just like to stay. And I have no idea why he was asking or saying, maybe he just wanted to know, when are you coming to get me?
He probably just wanted to know when, maybe even wanted to see somebody there when they could expect him to leave, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And my thought was, oh, he needs rescuing. So that was a good, I was able to do that because obviously he wasn't in front of me. And I could stop myself and go, okay, wait a second. Just put the ball back in his court and ask him, what do you need? And then that was my next question. And he said, oh, I don't need anything. I'm good. So I was like, yes. But then, you know, when it's an angry situation, it's different for me. I don't like anger. I don't like it myself, and I don't like it in others. So
I think you're just going to have let him be your teacher of how to deal with people when they're angry. Because you can not like it all you want, but you're going to run up to it in the world all the time.
Yeah.
And this is where you get to, like, retire the people-pleasing part of you. People-pleasing is not about the people. We always think it's about the other people. It's all about you. When we people please, we're just trying to manipulate whatever. Like, I want you to be happy so I can feel happy. Exactly. I want you to not be angry so I can be feeling safe. Rather than, like, they might need to be angry. They might need to be disappointed. They might need to feel whatever they're feeling. They don't need you manipulating the situation, you know? I think it's just so healthy for kids to be able to. I was telling the story at camp a couple of weeks ago. Logan had an anxiety attack and was, like, all upset and whatnot. And he was throwing things in his room. And I was just like, go, if that's what you want to do, you can't just know that whatever you do, there will be cleanup after, but have at it. If that's what it will take for you to feel better, just have at it. We came in the room. He was so upset. He broke a hanger, like a plastic hanger. And then, of course, his anxiety got higher. And I said, well, what did you learn from that? And he said, I should throw the socks. And then he went in his room and he was like, sockpalooza. And then he came out and felt better. And we never told him he shouldn't be anxious. We didn't get all worked up about it. We were just like, this is normal. I asked him some questions why he thought he couldn't articulate why it was triggered. And I said, okay, then you need to let it run its course. That's what needs to happen. Because the last thing I want to do is teach him. Somebody needs to rescue him from his anxiety. Because what happens when you rescue people from their feelings, when they move out of your house and they don't have a somebody to do it, then they only have the food, the booze, the drugs, and the porn and overspending. That's the big five. Mm-hmm. You don't want them to need that to deal with their feelings because they were never given the runway to truly experience them.
That's good. I like that. That's a good. I love that you let Logan go through that. I mean, that was a great moment for him to learn. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I loved how his lesson was, I should throw the socks. He's a funny kid. But he, you know, he's at that age, too. I'm going to just tell you, Mama, when all the hormones come in, they're so out of whack. I mean, I tell him all the time because he gets confused why he feels this way. Because we let him feel all his feelings and stuff, and we just don't judge them. And he gets real, like, in his head about why he isn't like he used to be. Like,
right.
You know, I just want to be like my happy self. Now he's got all the emotions. And I tell him all the time, it's like, you're going to need to just go through this because your body is figuring out its chemical balance now. This is the stage where that's what the body does. And if we don't treat it like it's an emergency all the time, it will end up regulating itself, you know? So anyway.
Good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Squeeze that boy. 6'1".
Yeah.
Mine's only 5'7", so. You have a good one.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Let's see. Is Deanna here? Deanna Hunt? There's a Nancy. Here's who I have today. Martha, Christina, and Sherry. Are any of you here? Please raise your hand. If you're not Martha, Christina, or Sherry, lower your hand, please. Okay, Christina, you're next. And if you're Diane B with your hand raised and you happen to be one of my girls and you just came in on a different name, will you put it into the comments so I'll know? All right, Christina, let's see. I don't have you on camera. Do you have a camera option? I don't think she can hear me.
Hi.
What are we coaching on?
Well, I always sign up and then never know what I'm going to coach on. By the way, Martha just went.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my right. Accountability groups. Yes, it's Deanna I'm looking for. Sorry. Y'all don't know this, but I'm sick and I have a fever. Literally, I've been coaching for 7 straight days or doing team meetings. I was like, this warden, I don't remember what I was doing a Marco Polo to someone and I wasn't even making, like, I literally heard me like stringing along words and I said, oh my God, this Marco Polo doesn't even make sense.
So, you should take a couple days after camp off.
I know. We changed the schedule for the next one. We normally have our team quarterly meeting and stuff. And after we've had 2 where we've had quarterly meetings where everybody's like, it looks like the balloons fizzled or something. We're like, you know, maybe we should just like plan this away from camp.
I think that's a good idea.
I feel good. It's just, you know how it is when you're getting sick. You know things aren't working right. So,
yeah.
But I can still coach like a boss. So that's all we need to know. So what are we doing?
So I listened to Brooke's podcast on Thursday or whatever about the Urge Jar. And her 1-hour class, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And ultimately what I've determined is I've been negotiating with myself basically every meal or every training run or every everything. And I'm sick of listening to my own bullshit is the bottom line. So she said that when she plans, she literally doesn't change it ever. And
right.
So my question to you is, do you do that and do all the really successful people do that? I mean, are they really just, I've been substituting healthy for healthy or having, but I feel like I'm just spending way too much time thinking about it. I don't want to think about it anymore.
Then you need to quit changing. Here's the answer. Sometimes we do switch things, but we switch things because priorities change or we can see that it's going to support the goal. Like, you know, if I'm going to, like, let's say that I run out of food at the house and I had a salad on the plan and I need to go get something or whatever, that's fine. But I will tell you what successful people do is they create a lifestyle that requires less and less inner negotiation so that they can be solving problems, doing important work, experiencing their loved ones and stuff. Like, I don't think you guys ever realize how much you really think about food and negotiating stuff. And it takes you out of those small moments when you're thinking about, well, I don't know if I'm going to have my salad or if I'm going to have one of these other dinners and blah, blah, blah. And your husband's talking to you. Or you could be talking to your husband, but you're sitting there in 30 seconds of contemplation on which food to eat. Just bullshit. It erodes slowly. But successful people are boring. Steve Jobs
boring.
Only, boring. No, you can't. Because when you're negotiating and changing things, it's because you're creating small hits of spontaneity and stuff.
Okay.
Like, I want you to think about real successful people in the world. Like, the most successful, like, Isaac Mizrahi loves patterns and all this other stuff. He wears black and white. Steve Jobs, he wore one outfit all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I know that sounds like extreme, but it builds upon the foundation. Like, I only buy clothes from 2 places.
Yeah.
I just don't shop other places because I know when it's time to make a decision on clothes, I just want to go to this one place. It works. I don't look at other stuff. Like, the same thing with my food. I eat the same things over and over again. So I'm not just standing around looking in the fridge. What sounds good today? Like, none of that stuff. The only time that I do, like, what I would call what you're saying, like, the thinking of food, if I spontaneously get invited out someplace, I want to save all of my thinking about food for the smallest moments. Like, one time a week, someone will invite me out, and then I'll do that. But, like, I don't want every meal or a third of the meals or whatever to be left up to interpretation where I feel like I'm thinking about food all the time. You're going to be thinking about your weight loss anyway. So you might as well not be like putting on top of it all these decisions. So stop negotiating. Like, if you, this is your thing, this is how you know you need to quit it. Because if you were switching things out and it was like, this is what keeps me on track. Like I'm losing weight and I'm like really, like I found my groove. If I have a couple of options, if I have this, like, then I'd be like, yeah, get after it, mama. But when you tell me, I'm just so sick and tired of thinking about food. It's exhausting. I'm realizing I'm doing this. I think it might be why I'm stalled. Then yeah, you're going to have to cut that shit out. That is what is stopping you from the next level.
It is. And I've been doing it 2 days now. And I was at the grocery store yesterday and I was hungry, but I had two things planned for snacks. And I just said, if you buy them in the grocery store, you may eat them.
Yeah.
And if you don't buy them in the grocery store, you can suck it up and wait till you get home. And I sucked it up and waited till I got home and I was fine.
Right.
I literally spent the whole portion of the grocery store going, well, I could eat this or I could eat that or I could eat this or I could eat that. And I just,
and that is the part that sucks. Like sucks because it's like, it's not hard to be hungry. It's hard to sit there and like leave the door open to possibility. In a snack. If I'm going to leave the door open to possibility, it better be to like, I don't know, go out and have sex with an amazing looking Jason Momoa. That I'll leave the door open for possibility. A snack at Kroger, we're done thinking about it. My ass can wait till I get home. Like, you know, it's just like stuff like that, you know? We just, I don't think appreciate in this world how much we slowly erode our emotional bandwidth. Like we just tire ourselves out in this, like, I hate to say it, stupidest ways, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah. I didn't realize I was doing it until the other day.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, it's healthy for healthy, but I haven't lost weight in months. So obviously I've negotiated myself right out of following my plan and doing well. So.
Well, that's where this is such a good concept because I want you to think about this very often. Like how much weight have you lost?
I've lost 50.
So like the thoughts that got you to 50 will be your limiting beliefs at the next 50.
Okay. Yeah.
So like when you think about when you first start, like when I first started at 250, any changes I was making is like, oh my gosh, look at me. It's so much better than it used to be. Like, look, at, I'm
I
just,
use
you know,
that thought a lot. Like yeah. I eat so much better than I used to.
Yeah. And you used to eat 50 pounds heavier and now you've lost 50 pounds. And now that's a limiting thought. Now you need a thought like you need like that's the one that's like, oh, that's some shit right there. Because what it does is it keeps you where you're at. It is proven to you that I'm better than I used to be, feels good. But the problem is in order to lose another 50 pounds, it doesn't feel determined. It doesn't feel willing. It doesn't feel compelling. It doesn't feel motivated. You know, it doesn't feel like the things, the feelings that are required to level up. Like if you were like generating level up thoughts rather than tradey thoughts, equalizer thoughts and stuff, you'd be, you know, you'd be performing and thinking different.
Okay.
I just think it's a concept I'm actually like, there's, I have got a list right now of concepts I'm wanting to teach on these Friday motivators. I'm just like, that's one, the whole idea of like how do you identify the thoughts that worked and now have stopped working. Like they're literally the ones that keep you stuck now.
And I think that would be super helpful because I do think many of us are doing so much better, both in our thoughts and our weights and our training and all of that. But there is a point where it's like, but I'm not continuing. So what is keeping me from getting there? So
and it's a thought.
Yeah.
It's always going to be like looking for what it is that you're believing about yourself right now. And if you believe I'm better than the 50 pound heavier version of me, it's like, yeah, that's true. But does that thought generate the kind of work required to lose another 50 pounds? Like combing through and saying like without the urge jar, had it been like, there's a problem. I need to start identifying every single time I'm off plan, including the ones I think might be healthy. Mm-hmm. It would have snapped in two, like right then.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting. So I just started coaching with Amber too. She went into Brooks School starting in April. Mm-hmm. And I was coaching with her Sunday and a thought came out of my head is I just want to be done. And I was like, but I know in my heart there is no done. And yet my mind still thinks there's an end point for it all. And that,
what do you want to be done with is the question.
Losing weight. I want to be a goal.
Well, there is an end point for that, but you have to clarify what done is. Like, you have to, like, I would go through and I would, like, make sure that you really do, like, an exhaustive list of what is being done mean. I'm done with this. I'm done with this. I'm done with this. Like, all the things. Okay. Because what you need to do is parcel out what is actually, like, okay, it's time to, like, shit or get off the pot so we can be done with this part. Some of it, no, it's never going to end. It's like, you're never going to be done planning. You're never going to be doing this. And then, like, accepting that part. But the losing weight part, yeah, there's an end point. I don't want to, like, and that can be a helpful thought as long as it's a clarified thought.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying? And if you keep,
yeah,
I will say this though, watch yourself on thinking it too often on, like, I just want to be done. You're already finishing now is the problem. When you keep thinking it, you stop yourself now. And it's like, no, here's what I want to be done with. I want to be at goal weight. I want to clarify this thought. What I really want to, like, being done, really the better thought is I'm determined to be my goal weight. I'm determined to work on my next 20 pounds. I'm, like, really, like, parceling out that piece to give your brain the direction it needs to go versus, like, I just want to be done. It doesn't really tell your brain what it's going to work on next in order to be done.
Okay. Yep. That makes sense. I like that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's see, Christina, you're next. Wait a minute, Christina. Yeah. All over the board today. And Deanna, if you're here.
Yay.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry. I had to switch my phone.
Oh, you're fine. We're going a little out of order today anyway.
Well, that worked out for me because I didn't get out of work until much later than I had planned. So.
All right. Well, we'll be coaching on.
Well, so I have scheduled and canceled a Zoom call with you, I think, every month for the last 3 months. And so,
oh, my gosh.
I know. It's terrible. And I just, that's really what I need to coach on is that I keep quitting stuff. Like, I am a master planner. I am so good at writing out food plans and to-do lists, and this is what needs to get done, and this is what we're going to change. And then I get maybe a couple of days in, sometimes a little longer. Lately, I might get to 3 o'clock. And then, like, I quit on myself. And then,
why do you quit, though?
Because, like, something doesn't go the way it's planned. Like, when there's anything that just goes the slightest bit off of plan or off the way I expect it to go, which, you know, that's just life.
Do you have, like, an example of when this has happened recently?
Yeah. So my son does training twice a week at the gym, has a trainer, and all of a sudden he got a new job. He's 15. He got his first job.
Isn't this 15-year-old day? Second 15-year-old coaching.
That's so crazy. And he got his schedule, and he's scheduled all the same nights as his trainer is supposed to be. Okay. And he doesn't drive, so I have to drive him. So then it's coordinating. Did you reschedule your trainer? No, I have to help with that. How are you going to get here? How are you getting home? And all of it is just, like, feels like too much, which later I'm like, this is stupid. It's not that much to deal with. Just deal with it and move on. But all of a sudden I'm like, well, now I don't want this to eat and I'll do something different. Or I start dialogue is just terrible in my own head about
what's the dialogue, because there's nothing to do with having to schedule a trainer. It has anything to do with eating.
No,
so far apart.
I know the dialogue is that I did something wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have let him get this job. I can't, maybe we shouldn't be doing this trainer. I'm the one that pushed him to keep going on it. That's just one example. Another one, usually it's something that I've planned or I've said something and somebody else gets their feelings hurt. And then all of a sudden nobody's happy. The day's not as positive as I wanted it to be. And then I start saying stuff like I suck and you're a failure. And it's
so never, why are you a failure when somebody else doesn't like you or your choice or what's happened?
Because I have spent so much of my life worried about making everybody else happy and so little of it figuring out what makes me happy, I think.
Okay, that's fine. But why is it still your fault, though? Why do you keep, like, you need to explain to me how this is your fault. When other people feel bad, how is it your fault?
Well, it's not my fault. I know that when I'm not in that moment.
So when you're not in the moment, how much time do you spend talking about how you're doing things right to yourself?
Never.
Yeah, I wonder why you keep going back to the food. Because it's either like I'm just doing life and organizing trainers and probably your to-do list or whatever, or I'm in the shame shawl.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I have a competitive dancer too. So between my kids and I spend more time in my car than in my own house, I think.
Then you have a lot of time to listen to podcasts.
I do. I listen to all your podcasts, which is part of why I would cancel over and over again. I'm not doing it right.
You're going to have an active practice of changing the conversation you're having in your head. You're just letting it all run on default right now. And that's the only, like, I know y'all want it to be because you have kids in competitive dance and schedules to reorganize and there's people pissed in my life. And like, we want all of these circumstances to be the reason why we talk shitty to ourselves. It's like, no, the reason why you talk shitty to yourself is because you never say anything else to yourself.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's very true.
I mean, and this is like for all of you, because so many of you go through this, learning to change how you talk to yourself is a very slow, deliberate, long process. I don't think you're quitting on yourself. I think you think you're quitting on yourself. I think you're struggling with your inner dialogue and seeking relief, which is like quitting on yourself is just like, I don't want to do this work and give up.
Yeah.
I don't think you're frustrated with the work. Like when we quit jobs because we don't want to go there anymore.
Right.
I don't think you're quitting on yourself. I think what you need to like, and I wouldn't even think of it as I quit on myself all the time. That's like you shaming yourself all over again. I would just like every time you go off plan or something, ask yourself, why did I choose to seek relief in that moment? Because if I had to guess, you're seeking relief. Okay. From your own thoughts and opinions. If you feel like you're having to do things all the time, then you will seek relief in choosing food that you want in the moment.
I think I heard you, I don't remember if it was you or if it was one of the other coaches, it was recently talking about how selfish it is to think that somebody else gives a shit about what's going on in my life.
That was me. That sounds like something I would say. No, I do talk about
it. It's funny because the last couple of days I've been doing a lot of this is not my problem or this isn't about me. And I bet you I said it 20 times yesterday in my own head, this isn't about me. And it's the same thoughts that even keep coming up over and over again. It's not about me. It's not about me.
We had at camp a lady that had the same thing. She had a sister that she felt like her sister was basically ghosting her in the relationship, like all the things, right?
Yeah.
And her mantra all weekend long, she'd walk up to me because I coached her and I was like, what the fuck? What if it's just not about you? Like, it's not everything is about you. She was like orchestrating everything that her sister did or didn't do somehow was about her as a person.
Yeah.
I was like, what if your sister just has a life? She ain't got time. It's not about you. And so like the whole weekend. And I think it's such a powerful thought because when you guys really spend a lot of energy and effort trying to either control people and their experiences, whether it is like some of our mamas are just like, I got to be in control of everything. Like they're mama bears. And some of you aren't even mama bears. You're just in the background, doing everything for everyone, trying to manipulate all the experiences so everyone's happy, so you can feel happy. But the problem is that they're not always going to love everything. They're going to have their own experiences and interpretations. And if you make all that, because if you're trying to control them so you can be happy, the moment they're not happy, you make it about you.
Mm-hmm.
Must be me. It's like, no, they're a human. They're supposed to be disappointed sometimes.
Yeah.
They're supposed to not love life sometimes, just like you. We're not supposed to feel good all the time. We're supposed to be willing to feel anything. Like I know this is such a weird concept, but it really is so helpful to just sometimes be like, this is just one of those moments I want to feel sad. And now I process that. When you say, I want to feel sad, I want to feel angry, I want to be disappointed, you don't need food. I want you to think about every time you eat, it's because you don't want to feel those things.
Sure.
And when you want to feel them, it's because you're generating from a thought that says, yeah, like I can handle this. But I do think this right now. And I'm all in on this thought. I don't need to even get away from it.
Okay. So I need to go back and write some of the things that I do well.
Every day, like every stinking day, I would start the day with three things. I would start the day with three things I love about me. In the day with three things you did right today.
Okay. You know, it's funny. Have you ever heard of a panda planner?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen one.
I think it's very similar to your success planner that you have, that you do.
Yes.
But I have one, and it's actually kind of cool because way down here at the bottom, it actually has three things that I did right today and then what I'm going to do to improve.
Yeah.
Or today's wins. And I really did just start doing this more consistently, probably in the last week or two, where I'm actually trying to answer what I've done well. I'm really good at the beginning about what to do and all that other business, but not so good at the end of what I've been successful at. And it's hard to find them, which it shouldn't be. It's so silly.
No, it should be hard to find them. You know why?
Why?
You haven't been looking for a long time.
Yeah.
It would be like saying, oh my God, I know I broke my right hand and have to write with my left hand, but I mean, it's been like 3 hours. It should be easier. You've spent a lifetime as a righty. It's like, I mean, it's literally as ridiculous as thinking that. Like no one would be like, it's been 3 hours. You don't have this whole left-handed thing down already.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, yeah. It's like, you guys think there's
impatience is on my list too.
Yeah. This will be good for you to practice retiring that about yourself. But it's like, it's this idea, like you immediately, I just want you to see where your brain went. It shouldn't be this hard. It's you going back to the story of something's wrong with me. It's all about me. It's like, no, it's not about you. It's about the way you've talked to yourself all these years. And now it's going to be about the way you're willing to talk to yourself for that. How old are you?
44.
Oh, we're the same age. Good.
Yeah.
The next 44 years. How are you willing to talk to yourself for the next 44? And it's about opening yourself up to the idea that it's going to take some practice. It's going to take you, like, even during the day when you catch yourself, like, thinking some shade, you need to just say, like, this is not about me right now. What's good about me right now? Like, I love the idea of, like, every time, especially for all of you who have negative thoughts, when you're triggered into a negative thought, immediately going into requiring yourself, like, right now, I got to come up with something good about me. It trains your brain on what to be looking for. It won't feel authentic. Not for a while. So don't expect that.
Good. Good.
Well, that's helpful to know that, you know.
Yeah, no, it is. Absolutely. That the awkwardness of it is actually an expected feeling. So that makes me feel better.
It starts with, now you're in awareness of, like, this is my problem. My problem is my self-talk. And now I'm going to have these, like, positive things. So there's the phase of, this is always going to come in first. And I'm just trying to help you bypass the phase of, this shouldn't be happening now that I know a happy thought. It's like, no, this will keep coming sure as shit for a long time. So don't, it's just no different than craving a donut or, you know, just anything, like having an urge to eat at 8. It's like, well, I know eating at 8 o'clock at night is like not going to help me lose weight. I don't understand why tonight at 8 o'clock I want to eat some food. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't give a shit that you know it. Like, that's important. But now we start working. Like, that's when work begins, once the knowledge is landed. So you're going to have all of these normal thoughts come in that you have. You're going to not be frustrated with them. You're going to immediately replace. And for a long time, it's going to be this thought comes first. It's going to be a very conscious redirect, and it will feel tiring in the beginning. Then what will happen is this thought will come in, and the replacement thought will be almost as fast. It will be like, you won't have to work hard. Like in the beginning, you have to work hard to generate one. They're like, oh, I don't know. I got to come up with a positive one. I don't really know what I did today. Like, it'll be like that, you know? And then all of a sudden you'll hit a phase where your brain gets so used to you having to do it. It'll be like, Shade, but, you know, your hair looks amazing today. It'll just come up with something. Then what will happen is you'll start having these thoughts, like, your hair looks amazing today, but don't forget that shit you said earlier. They start trading out. Like, you remember how this guy came in fast? Well, now it'll be positive, and then this guy will come in fast behind it. Then the last phase happens where this happens, and sometimes this happens. It's like you have to work hard at doing it, and you won't want to. Like, it just, it's a process, but it's very worth going through. But I always think there's some comfort in knowing the process because you're not thinking that, oh, it's taking so long. Oh, the thoughts keep coming in. It's like all the frustration. If you can cut that piece out, it is easier to go through the four stages.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Aren't you glad you finally showed up for a call?
I am very glad. And I know I have to use my phone and I can check it off my big ass calendar. So there you go.
There you go. Win-win right there.
Exactly.
Well, thank you.
Yes. You have a good day.
You too. Bye. Okay, let's see. The person who's supposed to be coached is Deanna. Is Deanna here? I see like all kinds of people with their hands raised, but I do not see a Deanna. Okay, this is what we're going to do. Everybody has to lower their hand. Somebody is going to get like spin the big wheel and they're going to coach with Corinne spontaneously. But you must lower your hands. Don't make me call your name. If I have to call your name, it'd be a spanking. Virtually, which sounds weird. Dari and Vanessa, if you'll lower your hands, then I can have everybody do the contest to raise their hand to get coached. They must not be someplace where they can do it. Maybe they're walking or something. Okay, so they're not going to get included. So on the count of three, you can, oh, there it goes. One of them went down, just waiting on Dari. On the count of three, raise your hand if you want coached. And I'm going to pick someone and you'll get the final spot. One, two, three. Nicole Betts won. Oh my God, Nicole. Oh wait. Oh, where'd you go? Shit. Hang on. Nicole, you were up there so fast. I don't see you. Did you mean to not, I guess you didn't mean to raise your hand. Nicole, you were going to win it, but I don't know what happened to you. Okay. Melissa Wilkinson was second. You can. Do you have your, you have to start your camera. Hey, what are we coaching on?
So I was in the groupies, flashback groupies, and at this particular second, you are not shiny and new, but you're super cute. But I'm trying to go forward, and I've had some job changes, and it's kicked me in the ass. And I'm having the wave of depression and fine and depression and fine. And I'm starting to do the little grabs. I'm grabbing here and there. And it's not like I have chips in my house or anything like that, but it's like grapes. And I'm noticing that it's happening.
So why don't you just stop it?
I did. No, but it's the mental work. It's the mental stuff more than anything. I'm noticing I'm changing out. Like I make my plan. I switch meals around and I usually don't do that. I think it's a mental thing getting in my way.
Yeah, it always is.
I know that sounds so silly. But I guess because you have suffered from depression and welcome to my world, the ebb and flow of it all is how do you keep going forward without kicking yourself in the ass. I think that's what I want to say.
You have to really manage your mind. So like you need to, are you doing your thought downloads every single day without, okay. You need you need to know what it is you're thinking. So make sure you're writing. Then I would do a second TDL. Like for all my girls that have depression, I would do a second TDL, directing your brain where you want it to go for the day.
Okay.
That's going to be key. Like I'm loving the model, but I would rather see you write out, like do your thought download you have just for the day where your brain's at, but then consciously like direct your brain where you want it to go. Like, but this is how I would like to feel and show up and do today. Because what's happening when you're in the depression, it's just everything's becoming very autopilot over here. It's going to take work to like I would just make a bottom line agreement with myself that I get to feel as shitty as I want, but I'm not going to have a day where I don't at least tell my brain another story. That's really good. Hard. Do what?
It's so hard.
To tell your brain another story?
Yeah.
You have to be creative then. You're not going to be able to think that's hard. Like that's a thought that's going to stop you. You need to think that's required.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Cause if like, this is the thing, like depression will tell you lots of things about it that will feel so true. Like it's hard. It's it's a hole. It's all these things. That's all descriptors of it. It's just depression.
Right.
There are some of us who do depression quite well.
Oh, I function beautifully.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I function beautifully with it. That's not a bad thought.
True.
I mean, there's a lot of people who do not function beautifully at all with it. I would just think I function beautifully with it. Now I'm layering in another thing. When I'm depressed, I do this stuff. And if I was you, one of the things that you said, you need to do some cleanup work around your job. Because you described your job and you're just like, what did you say about your work?
I don't want to get into it now, but something happened, which was a bunch of bullshit. And needless to say, I have to make some choices.
Okay. So I would just like, rather than going through all the bullshit and stuff, I would just say like, it's time to make some choices. And I would boil them down to as neutral as possible. Don't allow it to have so much of your mental oxygen. Because in the beginning, you said something like either you had a new job or something was happening with your job. And there was go ahead.
It's okay. I'm a singer. So I teach voice and I also have a church job. And then there's another aspect of me that I'm not going to talk about right now. And somebody complained about me at my church job. And let me just tell you, I'm one hell of a singer. So they're wrong. And I was let go.
Okay.
And it's stupid ass shit. Anyway, needless to say, so my heart is broken because I work with little kids and I have kids choirs and I was there 16 years.
Okay.
So
I think it's fine to like, I think you should say, yeah, my heart is broken. I love the kids, but I have.
Yeah, I did. And I have.
Yeah. And it's just, and it like not allowing there to be any more drama around it because depression, you know what it loves? Drama.
Of course it does.
It's going to be like, they were wrong. They shouldn't have done that. They blah, 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 blah.
But they did.
Like, yeah. It's like, it's over.
Right.
And I can keep arguing with my past or I can be like, what's next? I can miss the kids, but what's next? But as far as me thinking all this other stuff, you know what it does? It makes Melissa wrong about Melissa's present. Like if they were wrong about you, the last thing you need to do is be wrong about you in your present.
It's true. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I know. Sometimes it's good to hear it from somebody else besides me trying to tell myself it's okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. A lot of times I just tell myself all the time, it's okay to feel any way I want and I can stop and move on anytime I want also.
I love that.
Yeah, it helps me a lot because it really makes me understand I am in control of all the shitty feelings that I'm having right now. And a lot of times I like to sit in them for a little bit. I like to talk it out, but I don't like to stay in it.
Right. It's so easy. If you don't have the tools to get out of it, it's so easy to stay in and have the spiral continue.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just digging a deeper hole and it's harder to come out.
Right.
It's like when you were talking about, you go off the wagon, let's say, and then you come back on thinking you're going to start where you were instead of starting where you are.
Yeah.
in that.
It's just exactly, every time you start, guys, you're always starting where you are, and it's exactly where you need to be. The more we get used to starting where we need to be, the more we're able to have, like, compassion for ourselves, and we get further down the road much faster. The reason why most of us don't get very far in life is because we're spending so much time fucking around in our past and derailing our current self over and over again, thinking we should be somewhere else. It's like, no, we should be right here.
Right. It's always what's the next spec. Yeah. Let's jump to the next thing and ignore what's going on at the present time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that help?
It does. It does. I mean, you're just validating everything that was going on in my brain, which I think is important.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for, I do a lot of spiritual, consulting type of thing with people. So this is the avenue where I'm going, and it's a good thing.
Good.
And I need to trust it and know that it's good. So
that's probably why you're grab assing, because
trusting
the future is one of the, it's a skill.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's the one that your brain will throw up roadblocks. It's, you know,
Totally.
But it's worth it. I just always trust the future. I'm just like, if I get to create it, then I totally trust it.
No, I love that. I love that. I actually used the model that you use for, if you're going to do something, is it going to be an 8 or above? And if it's going to be and you're going to do it, then tell me how you feel about that.
Yeah.
Or write down that emotion, that one word emotion. And that seems to really strike a chord.
Awesome.
I should give you part of my fee.
No, I'm good. I just want you to, like, have an amazing life. That's how everybody can get back, is by getting their dreams, losing their weight, loving their people more, all right. Those things.
So. Exactly. Exactly. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Nicole, I told you I'd get you since I called your name and I don't know what happened with our technology. I didn't want you to be all, like, you know, wah, wah. Hello.
Hello. Can you see me?
I can see you. Yeah, I can see you. What are we coaching on?
I guess relationships.
Okay.
I've just started this, and kind of preface, I'm a nurse practitioner, so I understand diet. I understand all that. Was raised in alternative health. Have done tasted every diet thing that my mother ever sold in her dang shop that tasted like crap. So when I came across you over Facebook, you made the most sense I've ever seen in the world. And so I was like, hey, this lady actually makes sense. So let's try this out. So, been listening to you for about 2 months before I joined in April. And I knew this month was going to be hard on me because my parents had a 50th wedding anniversary. I actually posted on PNPN Tribe about this morning. Are you still there?
I'm still here. Yeah.
So my parents were both married before, had kids. I'm the only one of my parents. So when it came down to doing this 50th wedding anniversary, who do you think got to do it? I did most of it. And then there was, of course, bitching and complaining that I did everything, but nobody else showed up for anything. So I overate, like, massively, because that's what I've done for 47 years of my life. Because,
like, at the party or...
at the party and for a day or two before, and finally got back on plan today. What do you, somebody recommended a relationship thing that you have in PNP Tribe.
There's one called Mastering Relationships.
Should I just jump and look into that? Because I know that's where all my overeat comes from. I'm an emergency nurse practitioner, and I eat when I get stressed. I eat when I'm, carbs are my go-to, so that's why keto worked for me for so many years, because it was so restrictive. But you can't live on keto. You can't, at least I can't. I can't live on keto for my whole life. It doesn't make sense.
So you have to have you just have to develop a relationship with carbs. Rather, this is the thing. You have to develop a relationship with carbs. You have to develop a relationship with yourself so that you're not using the carbs to avoid all the self-talk you have about these relationships.
Okay.
This is the funny thing about mastering relationships. It's never about the other people.
I know.
They're not going to change, but you will.
oh, hell no, they're not going to change.
No. And we have an unrealistic expectation that they ever should be any different than they are. We have to quit judging other people. Just like you said, of course, I had to plan it, blah, blah, blah. And there was all this bitching and moaning that I did all the work. It's like, so let them bitch and moan. Why do you care? You signed up for the work. Why do you care? Like, literally, I want you to think about this. Why does it bother you that they bitched and moaned that they weren't included? I mean, what was going on there?
Oh, I guess I mean, I've just never done anything right in their eyes because, I mean, they're half siblings and, you know, okay. It's just a whole freaking, we're not the Brady Bunch, and God forbid I'd like us to be one day, but it's just never going to happen. And I just have to wrap my head around that they may be my siblings, but I need to come with terms that I can choose who I want in my life.
Yeah. Or what you can do is understand their feelings rather than making it all about you.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Cause it's not about you. Let me tell you, the reason why you're mad about them isn't about them. It's about how you feel. You have thoughts and judgments on them because you don't like how you feel. They have the same about you. Like, well, she's the one that, you know, is both their kids and she's doing all the work. That must mean I'm a lesser kid. There's like, everybody always has self-judgment going on at all times. And when we're self-judging, we're not showing up amazing in the world for other people. And I think what happens with you is if you have self-judgment about you, you look for validation that something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
That's not them actively judging you. That's you not being solid in who you are to allow them to think anything they want. Like if I said, "Is your shirt green?"
Yeah.
Are you 100% sure it's green?
Yeah.
1,000% sure it's green?
Yeah.
All right, it looks blue to me. So now you have a blue shirt on.
That's your opinion.
Are you hurt?
No, it's your opinion.
Do you think I'm crazy or insistent?
No.
Does this make you like a lesser dresser?
No.
Do you question like maybe I'm colorblind? I must not be good enough to pick out shirts because I swore to God this was green.
No.
But that's what we do in relationships. It is as ridiculous as that. When somebody's upset about our planning a party.
Right.
Did you plan a good party?
Yeah. That's what everybody told me.
And do you love your parents?
More than life.
Okay. Then let them think whatever they want about their ability to show up in life or not. You'll figure it out in the Mastering Relationships book, but I'm going to tell you right now, oh my gosh, we always think that there are just bad people in the world. There are so few bad people in the world. There are just people walking around insecure all over the place. And when people are walking around insecure, they lash out or they say things or they don't act in a way that's always amazing for us. I just always think every single person that's acting kind of shady must be insecure in some way. They have their own shit going on the inside. That keeps me from making anybody else's opinions and shit mean something. Like maybe there's something wrong with me or maybe I need them to change in order for me to feel better. It's like, no, I get to feel better anytime I want.
Yeah. I just have to make the decision that their opinion doesn't matter to me. And I would think that after living this for 47 years, I would be there, but apparently I'm not. So,
or their opinion matters, but it's not like you, their opinion, you're making it mean something about you. It's not that their opinion doesn't matter. Is it maybe you've interpreted their opinion wrong?
I understand.
It's just like we were talking about at camp the other day. Somebody was talking about judgment. And how it's like, we just have to, you know, realize not like people aren't as judgy as we think. And I'm like, that's bullshit. Every single person's judging you. You walk down the hall, everybody's judging the way you look, the way you blah, blah, blah. The goal is not to set life up to think that other people aren't judging. The goal is to set life up to where other people can judge you and you just feel good about yourself. you know? So do the mastering relationships. The next 2 weeks in No BS, just so you know, we are focusing in on the hunger scale, and then we're focusing in on realistic planning. And so you have time to do another course. You have all the time in the world because we're taking you guys through stages in the process. We don't move the course along faster than what we think you guys need. So also with that overeating, just reminding yourself, like, just get back on plan. If you don't like their thoughts and opinions, there's zero reason to overeat. And don't put that overeating on them. Put it all on you. It's like they had thoughts and opinions that they said out loud. I decided to have thoughts and opinions about me that created a feeling that caused my own overeating. It was never about the party. It was never about the people. Take complete ownership of your overeating. Do not allow other people ever to have that control. Otherwise, the second you take complete ownership over your overeating is the moment you can fix it.
Yes. I agree.
Okay. Well, good call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys, that's it. I am going to get out of here. You guys have a really good day. We are going to be doing tomorrow Tribe Q&A in the morning. And yeah, I'll see y'all tomorrow morning for Tribe Q&A on Facebook. So if you have any questions at all, feel free to ask them over there. Tomorrow morning, I'll be like live and in charge. Talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.